goodness. Oh, my goodness. You guys didn't have to do that. Oh, my goodness. Jesus is worthy. He alone is worthy of our praise. Amen? And so if you're excited because Jesus is here, he's about to do something incredible. Come on, give him praise, church. Hallelujah. But I am honored and humbled by that introduction. Hallelujah. My name is Richie Keabiab. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace Capital Church, and I have been given a task to share the message today on Palm Sunday. Happy Palm Sunday. Turn to the person next to you and say, Happy Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. If you're here and you're expecting Pastor Mark, the handsome guy, you know, the tall, handsome guy who's very charismatic, he's not here today because he got invited to preach the different church, Zeal Movement, and he and his family, except for Abby, are there. Abby's not a rebel. Abby happened to, was committed to be part of the worship team. Abby, wonderful job with that song, by the way. And worship team, thank you for leading us. So Pastor Mark will be back next week. And if you're joining us for the first time, I always say this, nothing is by accident. God has a plan and God has a purpose. This ministry, Grace Capital Church, is here to help you get ready to meet Jesus face to face. By the way, this is not just the role or the job of pastors. This is the church role. What are we here for, church? We're here to prepare each other to meet Jesus face to face. By what? By reaching the lost. Come on, say this with me. By reaching the lost, caring for the least, and training the found. Amen. Hallelujah. It's got to be. When we're following Jesus, those things, it's got to happen. And if it's not happening, then something is off. Something is not quite right. But when we're following Jesus, you're sharing the word. Amen. You're caring for the least. And one way or the other, you're always encouraging each other. Even if you don't like that person, like look to the person next to you. Yeah. Do you like that person? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're supposed to encourage one another. You're supposed to equip each other and to love each other. Amen. For what? For what? For the Great Commission. Because there are people who need Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you guys ready? Church, my prayer this morning is that that this Palm Sunday will not just be an ordinary Palm Sunday. My prayer to the Lord, Lord, how can this Palm Sunday be different from all the other Palm Sundays? You know, because as a kid, when I think about Palm Sunday, I see people having palm branches, palm leaf, you know, and they're waving it. And sometimes the palm leaves and branches are, you know, in the shape of a cross. But is that it? Or is there more? And so my prayer to the Lord, like, Lord, show us, remind us, teach us, even reveal to us today. So let me pray and then we can get started. Lord God, hallelujah. First of all, we thank you that you are here in this place. We thank you, Lord God, that you have prepared our hearts during our time of worship. And we thank you, Lord, that you are going to speak to us. May it not be my words, Lord, but your words. And that we would leave this place changed. Closer than when we came to you. I pray, Lord, that we would see you. I pray that we would hear you. I pray that our hearts will be open to the things that you will remind us. The things that you would teach us. To the things that you would correct us, even rebuke us. And to the things that you would commission us as a church, as followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God and Savior, our King. We exalt you, we love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Really, if you're excited, come on, give God praise. Woo! Hallelujah. So Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week. If there's a week that changed the world, this is it. You know, it's Holy Week. Some people call it Passion Week. And it starts with Jesus entering to Jerusalem. That happened on Sunday, today. And then Monday, what does Jesus do? Goes to the temple, flip tables. Flip tables. Didn't like what he saw. Those money changers were corrupt in their practices. He started flipping tables. talking about being offensive, you know. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, religious leaders are, where is he? They're still looking for Jesus. They're plotting to kill him, okay? And then Thursday, what does Jesus do? He gathers his disciples. They break bread. That same night, that same day, you know, he was betrayed and he was arrested. And then Friday, what happens? He's crucified. And he dies on the cross. Saturday, heaven was silent. But hallelujah for Sunday. Come on. Sunday is coming, church. Sunday is coming. But I'm going to preach on Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Okay, let's stick to the script. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark 11. Mark 11. Starting with verse 1. By the way, there's three things that I really want to highlight as a reminder for all of us. And if we have enough time, then it will be four. Okay, so pray that there will be enough time. The triumphal entry. Let me read. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever ridden. Loose it, bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has a need of it. And immediately he will send it here. Verse 4. So they went their way, found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing, loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it. And he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road. And others cut down leaves, branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let me just give you guys a little bit of the historical context. Why are there so many people on that day? Because there was a feast. Okay? And the feast was the feast of Passover. And if you remember, these people were slaves, okay, in Egypt under Pharaoh. And then they've experienced all these 10 plagues and God led them out of that, okay? God promised to lead them to the promised land. It was only going to take them 11 days, supposed to be, but how many years? 40 years. That's a different message. But they got there. Okay, they got there and they were there. Okay, these are the people that God has saved, and yet they're slaves again to who? To the Romans, to the Roman rules. They're suffering physically, emotionally, mentally, financially. They're not happy, and they're probably grumbling and complaining like, Lord, where's the promise? You told us. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. And so these people, okay, even though they're celebrating, they're looking for someone who would come to rescue them. Someone who would save them. Someone who would say, I'm here. Fear no more. Okay? And they heard about Jesus. They heard about Jesus. Something interesting about those two disciples that were asked to get the colt, get the donkey. My first point is this one. I don't have slides, by the way. If you have a pen and a paper, write this down. Okay, here's the first point or reminder. Sometimes God will ask you to do something that does not make sense. Okay? Could you imagine if you were the two disciples? Like, what, Lord? Yeah, go get the call. It's right there. And if somebody asked, tell them the Lord needs it. Okay? And it happened. And little do they know, okay, that this call that Jesus was going to ride on was going to be part of a fulfillment of a prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. They didn't know that. But because of their obedience, it happened. It was fulfilled. My question to you, church, today, okay, whether you've been following the Lord for a long time or maybe just recently, has He been asking you to do things that doesn't make sense? Raise your hand. Absolutely. Why does He do that? It's not always like that. But I'm here to remind you. He says, like, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. In our obedience, in His commands and instructions, when it doesn't make sense, our faith is activated. Amen? He loves when our faith is activated, because when it doesn't make sense, you go like, oh, I don't know. But I trust You, Lord. Therefore, I'm going to do it. Did you see that line on verse 9? And it's verse 6, it says, and they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. Because Jesus said, tell them this. And they did it, even if it didn't make sense. Can I be a little more personal? Okay. For some of us, God has instructions that make sense. It's clear as day. Okay? He says, I'm holy, therefore you need to be holy. It doesn't get clearer than that. The Bible says that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't get clearer than that. And yet, church, can I be honest? We're still sleeping around. Okay? We're still addicted to drugs that you know is harmful to your body, to your mind, to your family, to your relationship. You're stealing. Okay? You're addicted to porn. Okay? What other things that the Lord has been trying to tell you that makes sense, total sense, because He's holy, and you keep doing this because it doesn't glorify His name? Church, let me remind you today that if you're having a hard time following the things that make sense, how are you going to follow the Lord when He tells you to do things that doesn't make sense? Give away your car. You have too many cars. Give it away. You have plenty. You have accumulated so much resources because you're so diligent. Give some away to those people who are in need. But they're mine. The Word of God is always like the opposite of what the world teaches. Amen? When we say, be holy for I am holy, God is simply saying, be set apart from what the world is telling you. Be set apart, be different from what the world's way. Okay? The Bible is completely different from what the world is saying. The world is saying, like, you gotta be first. You gotta always be first. You're watching a movie? First. Going to the grocery? You gotta be first in line. You know? Bible says, want to be first, be last. You know? A lot of us, like, working hard and working out because we want recognition. We want success. You know, we want all our dreams to happen. But the Bible says, if you really want to be great, what does it say? Learn to be the servant of all. Are you serving in the name of Jesus? And some people are serving, but they're not in the name of Jesus. But as Christians, my question to you is, everything that we're saying, everything we're thinking about, everything that we're planning, everything that we're consuming about, is it about Jesus? Is it about Jesus? Because if it's about other things, can I just remind you? Come humbly before him and say, like, Lord, I'm off. I need you to align me to what matters most. Align my mind, my heart, my life. And may I always be about you, Jesus. Amen, church. You guys are so quiet. All right, I'm gonna pace myself. Point two, don't let the rocks cry out. Do you guys know that this account is found in all the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? But I want to flip a little bit over to Luke 19, okay? Luke 19, you can write this down, Luke 19. And starting with verse 37, it says here, then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God quietly. No, I'm sorry, guys. With a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. And then there it is again. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You've heard the worship team. You've heard me. You've heard all the worship leaders always encouraging us. Sing a little louder. Hallelujah. Sing a little louder. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What is that? What is that? What is that? Guys. Feast of the Passover. Do you think how many people were there? Scholars had debated. They say about 1 to 3 million people. Imagine that. In that scene. And who were the other people who were in that scene? The disciples, the 12, the 120, all the people who believe in Jesus during his first Galilean ministry. They were there, okay, because they know Jesus. They were singing this song, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Who else were there? The people who witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus. Okay, remember Lazarus was four days dead already. He was smelly and he's dead. But Jesus rise up and he woke up and he's alive. People saw it and they heard about Jesus. They were there in the crowd and they're singing, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Who else were there? The people who heard about the miracle, who didn't see it, but they're curious. Rumors spread. Oh my goodness, really that happened? Don't care where they're coming from. If they have to drive 4, 5, 6 hours, they're there. They were there. And when they see Jesus entering, they didn't sing. That's not my personality. I'm just gonna sit here. You guys are the loud people. You're good. I'll pray for you guys. I'll bless you. No. They were part of those people who were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Can you picture that? I'm gonna make you guys really uncomfortable right now. Is that okay? There's a spirit, okay? There's a spirit that wants to silence the church. If you're a true believer of Jesus Christ, who's listening to the Holy Spirit, man, I mean, like, you know it's the Holy Spirit, and you're listening to the Holy Spirit. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit is about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not ashamed to lift up Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not ashamed for you to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit is not ashamed for you to raise your hand, clap your hands, dance. Woo! Jesus! In the world, you look foolish. In the world, like, this is a crazy guy. Who is this guy? Take him out. But there's a spirit who wants to silence the church. What did the Pharisees say? Hey, Jesus, can you talk to your disciples? Quiet them down, please. quiet them down. Because you're not really the king. You're not really a Messiah. Quiet them down. And what did Jesus say? I tell you, if they don't praise me, what? The rocks will cry out. You guys know this line, but you guys like, do I say it with him? If they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. You're probably like, okay. I'll give you guys a vision. Maybe it will help you. This is heavy, by the way. A brother in the Lord, a friend, made this a few years ago. And this rock has been sitting in the prayer room. It says, if you don't praise him, Jesus, I will. Imagine this rock from now on, church. Whether you're praising or praying or sharing Jesus or praying for someone, it can't be quiet. It's got to be loud. Amen? It's got to be loud. Because we live in a culture where the church needs to be quiet or else we're going to offend people. And if we offend people, then our God is not about love. That's a lie. If we truly have the love of Christ in us, then share away. Allow the Holy Spirit in you to share from a place of love, God's truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? A friend of mine, her name is Stephanie. I saw a video last night, and this is what she did. She's driving her car, put it on her dashboard, and just started talking. And she started with an apology. She says, like, I'm so sorry to all my friends and to anyone who knows me. I should have shared this, but I'm afraid, you know, that I will offend you. So I've been just praying for you, but never, like, shared it. And I got really convicted, you know. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to say it anyways. And I'm not sorry if you're offended. Jesus is the only way. You can clap your hands. Come on. Jesus is the only way. Don't tell that to somebody who already knows that Jesus is the only way. Tell that to somebody who does not know that Jesus is the only way. Okay? Church, every time we gather, this is practice. This is practice. If you're afraid or uncomfortable in speaking the name of Jesus, praising the name of Jesus in a loud manner. It doesn't have to be always loud. Don't get me wrong. Like, Pastor Richie, are you always saying that? Do we always have to be loud? Like, no. There are people whose personality are as loud. This is easy for them. But on a next sermon, I will challenge them to be quiet because God calls us to be quiet, to be still in the presence of the Lord too. Okay? But what I'm trying to encourage all of us is that it's time to be loud about Jesus. Amen. Amen? Yes. People will not know. Like, if you're in a workplace and then all of a sudden there's three or four of you and you found out, like, oh my goodness, you guys are Christians too? Oh my goodness, which church you guys go to? Grace Capital. Oh, that's my church. And all of a sudden you guys having a party. Hey, how long have you guys been working here? Like, for a long time, years. And you're just finding out that they're Christians right now? I don't know if that's something to celebrate about. I don't know. I'll tell you guys the story. For a long time, we don't have a dishwasher. We used to have one, but it broke. But Cressel and I were teaching the girls to help out, you know, washing dishes. And so when our dishwasher broke, we never tried to have it fixed or replace it for a long time. Right, Rizal? And every now and then they were, when are we going to get a new dishwasher? we're going to be empty nesters soon, so we've decided it's time. And so Kresselin goes to the marketplace and found a great deal, and this guy comes, you know, and he's aged, and I saw him trying to lower the thing, and he's kind of like limping, and I know that just by observation he's probably in pain, and so he's trying to carry this dishwasher. I go like, Brother, let me help you. Let me get a dolly. Like, no, we'll just carry it. Like, nope. I feel like you're in pain. He's like, yeah, I have been in pain for a long, long time. And I go like, what happened? I got shot. And there's a bullet in my back. And the doctor says, we're going to operate it, but it's in a very sensitive place. But if you're willing, we're gonna open it, but there's a chance that you're going to be paralyzed. He's like, what? And we're carrying this dishwasher, like, okay. Oh, hold on. And he's like, ow. And what do you guys think God was speaking to me about? Pray for him. And in my mind, like, Lord, he's just delivering, you know, this dishwasher. And he's probably busy. He's in pain, Lord. You know, can we just let him be on his way? And like, no. The Lord's like, pray for him, Richie. You know. And I prayed for him. I said, brother, can I pray for you? I believe that Jesus can heal you. I believe that he may not take away the bullet, but he can take away the pain. Amen. And he was just surprised, like, whoa. And he says, like, no one has ever done that. I'm a Christian too, but no one has ever said that to me. And right there in my garage, I said, like, in the name of Jesus, I pray healing and miracle for this brother of mine. And I hugged him. And he got a little teary. You know, I don't know if he's completely healed. I'm believing that he's healed. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Come on. But here's the reason why I'm sharing this, okay? If he's a Christian, and because I obeyed the Lord, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's uncomfortable, okay? My hope that he was encouraged, okay? My hope that he was strengthened and that he doesn't have to be ashamed about declaring and praying and talking about the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You can clap your hands. Come on now. It's all for the Lord. How am I doing for time? You know, Matthew 10:22 says, you will be hated by everyone because they hated me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And Mark 8:38 says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And Lord, I pray that we will not be ashamed of you, that we will be louder than ever in declaring who you are. Hallelujah. Lord, even now I rebuke the spirit that is silencing your church. I rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, let there be an urgency for your church to be louder than ever, not just in praising you of who you are, all the things that you've done, Lord God, but in preaching and declaring to the world, the lost world, who you are, the way, the truth, and the life. If you're agreeing this prayer, come on, give God praise, church. Point three, okay? You have your pens? It's right here. It says, it's a question. Are you praising God for the right reasons and expectations? Are you praising God for the right reasons and expectation? Okay? It makes me wonder, what was Jesus thinking? He's riding this donkey. He's entering Jerusalem. Okay. Was he like, yeah, I'm the king. It's me that you've been waiting for. Yeah, freedom. No, he didn't say that. I think he was sad. Because while all these people were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they were praising him for the wrong reason. They were expecting him to be somebody who was not. You know? Lord, overthrow the Romans. Defeat them. You're here. Rescue us. Save us, Lord. Yay, yay. We're going to party. Little they know that he is not coming as a conquering king, but he's coming as the Lamb of God, about to be sacrificed. They didn't know that. They missed it. He's entering the scene, and they missed it. And I don't know, you know, if those disciples were praising him, you know, right in the beginning, but then when they heard the crowd and the mass of people, like, he's the king, he's gonna overthrow the Romans. I don't know if they switched from like, wait a minute, was that the one they did? Maybe he, like, because the same people who were praising him were the same people who said crucify on Friday. What happened? Church, are you praising Jesus because you want to be blessed? Are you praising Jesus because you have a list of things that, like, Lord, here are my list of things, you know? Can you give them to me? Because I've been delighting in you, you know? You said, Lord, whatever we ask in your name, you're going to give it. So there you go, Lord. Or are you praising him for who he is? As a Savior, as the one who redeemed us with his blood. Are you excited that he's entering the scene and he's thinking about you? He has not forgotten you, you know? There's a song that was recently released, maybe a few months ago. It's a very catchy song. Something like, bless me, 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 bless me. Like, the song is about bless me, bless me, bless me. And I don't know if God is upset with us when we say, like, Lord, bless me, you know. But I wonder sometimes if God is saying, like, I already did. You have no idea what you have in you. You know, I wonder if we come to realize that God has blessed us with so much that we don't even deserve, you know. And instead of saying, like, Lord, bless me, your prayer is like, Lord, because you've blessed me even though I don't deserve it, my prayer is that help me to be a blessing to others, you know. And whether that's a form of money or whether it's a form of prayer or encouragement, but your prayer is like, I've been blessed. I want to be a blessing to others. Amen? Should I continue? It's 10:11. Okay. So, this is something that I've been chewing on, and I wasn't really sure if I would even dare to share this. But something about when Jesus told those two disciples, untie the colt, and if somebody asks you, what are you doing? Tell them the Lord needs it. And true enough, when they were untying the colt, somebody asks, what are you doing? And they go, like, the Lord needs it. And immediately they release the colt. I'm not saying that God needs us. Oh, no, no, no. I mean, the idea of us thinking that God needs us, makes you like, oh, he's God. He was there in the beginning to the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning. And like, he does not need anything. You know, I'm not saying that. Doesn't need anything because everything came to exist in existence through him, by him, and for him. Okay? But what if there's something that God wants us to discover and realize. So I was asking Cresselin, babe, I said, babe, is there a scripture in the Bible that says require or something? God is requiring us, you know, from us or something. And then, of course, she's wise. And she and the Holy Spirit are like this. So she insisted that in Micah 6:8. And I go like, what does this say, babe? And he says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And immediately I ask Cresselin, what does require mean? What does the meaning of require? And she goes like, to need? I said, what? To need something, to demand something, to ask something. And I go, look it up. So we Googled it, and this is what it means. It means a need for a particular purpose, to ask or call, demand, order, instruct, command, or oblige for something as due, as necessary. Church, what I'm saying here is, yes, God wants a relationship with us. That's why He pursued us. That's why He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. He desires a relationship with us. And we have a relationship with Him. But what if He's trying to make us understand something that would unlock, you know, His plans and His purpose for us and the people that He's reaching in the world? I wonder if we would receive something that we've never even thought of. But my prayer is like, Lord, I'm willing. I'm letting You make me understand. Believe it or not, I was chewing this whole idea with Pastor Bill and also with Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark came to my office and said, so are you going to preach it? Are you going to share it? I go like, I don't know. But as I was chewing it, and I said, Pastor Mark, think about it. If Jesus is the head, He's been inviting us all this time. I need you to be my hands and feet, because we are the body. If Jesus Christ is the head, and apart from Him, we can do nothing. That's why we need to remain in Him. Amen? Then therefore, we are the body. And He's saying, I need to reach all these people who are hurting, who are lost, or dying in this dark world. If you're my body, I'm inviting you. Are you willing? Are you willing? Because I need you to be my hands and feet. Amen. Yeah. The triumphal entry has an end. Actually, He wants to continue to enter the scene. He wants to enter your marriage, your school, your family, your workplaces. Hallelujah. This state, this nation, the church has a part. Amen. My prayer, church, is that we would not disobey the Lord, because it doesn't make sense. That we will not be afraid in obeying His command, His instructions, whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense. That we will be louder than ever in lifting up His name. You know, saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Salvation is here! Salvation is here! It's in Jesus' name! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna! Hosanna! I wonder if many more people, like what happened during that time, would awaken their curiosity, would begin to listen to what the church is saying about who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who healed the blind, amen, who made the mute speak, who made the deaf hear. He walked on waters. Hallelujah. He rebuked the demons. He cast out demons. Amen. Yeah. And then he raised someone who was dead. Church, I'm gonna pray for you, if you guys can stand. Lord, thank you for reminding us with your word today. And I pray, Lord God, that your church will always be ready in listening and following to your Holy Spirit. Oh, your Holy Spirit is not far. He's with us. He's in us. And I pray, Lord God, that from this day on, moving forward, that we will be a little bit louder. Hallelujah. And that we will not let any rocks cry out in our place. And yes, Lord, we will praise you for the right reasons. Because you are the King who is worthy. You are the God who saved us. Hallelujah. Truly, you alone are worthy of worship and praise. Lord, we exalt you. We love you. If you've never received Jesus, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you to this prayer. Lord, I confess my sins to you. I repent from all my sins. Today, Lord God, I put my faith and trust in you. Hallelujah. And I make you Lord and Savior of my life. Hallelujah. I receive your Holy Spirit. Change my life. Today, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to listen to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on. Just by a show of hands, if you pray that prayer of receiving Jesus for the first time, would you raise your hands, because we want to celebrate you. Anybody who prayed that prayer for the first time, hallelujah. 1, 2, 3, come on. The Bible says, if you pray that prayer, you are saved. I want to encourage you, okay, to begin to open the Bible, okay? Find somebody who will teach you, guide you in understanding the Bible, and continue to be part of a church like this. Amen? Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you so much for watching us online. We're so glad that you joined us. We trust that Jesus has spoken to your heart and you've been challenged by his word. If you'd like to know more information about Grace Capital Church, please visit us at gccnh.com. We'll see you next time.